This is international film and television star Nick Searcy, and for some unknown reason, you are now listening to Off the Hook Radio. God help you all.
So you're a job guy.
And now, another celebrity PSA. That's public service announcement for those of you in Rio Linda. From Off the Hook Radio. Because we care. Sorta. Not really.
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here. Reminding you to stay safe during the quarantine. Make sure you wash your hands and wear a mask if you go out in public. And, just enjoy some music today. Oh, I gotta go get back to a pork butt.
Oh, Kermit. Wear a mask if you're looting.
Some are.
We don't want them to recognize you, Kermit. Oh, good Lord. Well, anyway. CB, are you here? You here? Still with
good
us?
Good morning.
Yeah,
I'm awake.
Just making sure he's...
And I'm unmuted.
He was at the window with his AR a few minutes ago. I was just worried about him.
My AR?
His musket.
Well, we're going to call it an AR so you sound more dangerous.
Jeez. It's 75 caliber.
Well, okay, but, you know, you get the first guy and then you're screwed for about 2 minutes.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. If they bum rush you, you're done.
Just tell them to wait.
All right. Well, welcome to Off the Hook Radio. We are live for June 1st.
2020.
Barbara, a little slow.
A little slow.
She's
getting old.
She's hiding in her New York penthouse. she's looking out the window with her AR.
She is.
God, she probably
I'm watching the New York feed. She probably is.
Oh, well, anyway, one thing I figured out, I guess the corona is over.
No, this is just halftime.
Oh, okay. Because I did discover this week there's no need for mail-in voting. When people have a reason, they sure as hell can come out.
It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I don't want to joke about it. I just want to say this. George Floyd died last Monday. And there's absolutely no reason for it. The autopsy, the real one, came out today. Yeah, he had meth and he had fentanyl in his system. But what he died from was asphyxiation. He died from a bully cop who kept his knee on his neck, face down the street, handcuffed for 8 minutes. He was murdered by that cop. It's plain and simple. And with the events of the past 5 days, it's important to remember George Floyd and his family, because there ain't nothing you see on TV has anything to do with George Floyd anymore, and it's pissing off most of America. What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, unfortunately, it seems to happen a lot, in that the original genesis for any kind of protest just gets lost completely as to what's happened. I mean, if they want to protest Minneapolis police tactics, fine. I mean, they suck, obviously, and they've had trouble there. Well, I mean, they've had trouble in Minneapolis for decades.
We should rename it Paris.
Well, you know,
they just have to. They've been unable to fix it.
They drop their guns and run.
I mean, my assumption is that I know when this first happened that the FBI was going to get involved. I haven't heard anything since then.
Yeah, but
you haven't heard anything. But I'm assuming they're gathering evidence, doing whatever it is that the FBI does in a case like this.
The problem was they put the federal prosecutor and the special agent in charge for the FBI for the Minneapolis. They came out and did a press conference and said they're on your side and we're working fast and we're trying to get this done and blah 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 blah. And then it turns out that very quietly yesterday it was announced that they can't charge him with civil rights violations because that law doesn't exist in Minnesota. I don't get that, but that's what they said. It was just some little blurb on the bottom of a news story. So I don't know how much good they're doing, but I can tell you what, you know, apparently Hennepin County, which is where Minneapolis is, elects a lot of pussy ass DAs, because Senator Klobuchar from Minnesota, who wants to be the vice president or the de facto president of this United States of America, used to be the DA in Hennepin County. And she had this son of a bitch, and I don't even want to say his name. I know his name, but I ain't going to say his name. This son of a bitch cop had killed somebody before. The circumstances were a little iffy on it, and she declined to prosecute. She just let it go. This guy has 18 excessive force complaints against him. 18. My question for asshole Minneapolis is, why is a cop with 18 excessive force complaints allowed to kill George Floyd in the middle of the street? Why is he still there? Why is he even a cop? None of this makes sense. It doesn't make sense to me. And I the core reason for people protesting and everything, got no problem with it. None whatsoever.
But CB's already made the best point of it all. The most of it is lost. It's not the protests of the 60s under Martin Luther King, where they had a leader and someone to direct and guide them. There is no direction. There is no guidance with this protest. There is no.
No, I've seen two Democrats stand up and act like friggin' leaders. One is the police chief in Detroit. And the other one is the mayor of Atlanta.
I don't mean politicians. I'm saying on the protesters' side. Martin Luther King, he was able to control the protests because he was the voice of reason. There is no voice of reason standing out right now for the on the side of the protesters. Yes, the brother came out.
Oh,
today.
They wouldn't listen.
He tried. Well, that's the difference between the 60s and the protesting then and the protesting now. I mean, it was protesting then.
People were a lot smarter back then.
They were. I mean, the brother came out today. He tried to be the voice of reason. I mean, he appealed to the community and asked them to please stop the violence. But it's not going to be enough. I mean, I'm watching it on the live feeds all over the United States on 9 screens right now, and it's not enough. I mean, there is violence everywhere.
3 days ago. Actually 4 days ago now, on May 29th, I made a post on Facebook. I said, sadly, this is the tweet of the day. A gentleman named Moshe Weissman, I believe he's from New York, and his Twitter handle was Just My Thoughts. Thank you, rioters. You've taken a situation where almost every single American stood in solidarity against a despicable injustice, and now you've made the whole issue about how much you don't know how to function in a normal society. You are your own worst enemy. That nails it. I got 183 freaking shares on that thing, so apparently a lot of people agreed with them. Everybody, with me, exception of about 14 asshole rednecks, was on the side of George Floyd and that cop being a killer, and why wasn't he arrested immediately? Nobody argued with any of that stuff. Nobody with any brains in their head argued with any of that stuff. It's right there on tape. You could see it. But this crap that's going on now has nothing to do with George Floyd.
No, it doesn't. We do
anymore at all. It's lawlessness. And these left-wing assholes that are agitating this stuff, and these people that don't act like they're responsible members of society, that are out there, oh, I can get free shit. You know, yeah, maybe an anti-fi guy walked by with one of his pre-placed bricks and threw it through a window. But it's the locals that are jumping through that window stealing everything.
I'd just like to point out real quick, L.A. County, which is under curfew, they are now arresting everybody. They are walking down the street and zip-tying everybody. I'm watching a live feed out of L.A., and they're not messing around. There's no violence, but if you are out, if you are past curfew, they are zip-tying you, and you are going to jail.
No, I just, you know, on one hand, this thing breaks my heart. This is horrible, you know. I agree with the people who are mad at the cops. I agree that cops treat black people worse than they treat white people, and I don't understand it. I'm not black, but I disagree with it. And, you know, I do have enough black friends that they explain it to me, and I understand their point of view to a point, but I can't understand it completely because I never get pulled over for that shit.
You know what I mean? The statistics.
I don't get Look, if a black guy was driving around in my car in Tampa, he'd probably get pulled over all the time. I never get pulled over.
But the statistics don't lie, though. They came out the other day, and I don't remember the exact numbers. For 2019, more white people were shot by police than black people.
It was unarmed. It's unarmed. It was not nine black people and 19 white people.
I
had that in my notes, and I crossed it out because I didn't think it was germane.
It's a fair
statistic.
Well, the thing is, how many more white people than black people are there in the United States?
You're right.
Black people are about 12% of the population, but they're also 46% of the criminal convictions.
So proportionally, you're correct. If you want to look at it proportionally, there is more killings of black people.
Not if you look at it in terms of criminality.
Right.
And you got to also understand that on the minority side or people of color side, they are getting arrested and convicted more.
Yes,
they are. And that is correct. And how much of that's fair? How much of that is unfair?
That's another question.
I don't know, but so here's my question.
It may be 46% of them are black, but how much of that is bullshit because they're black?
I think a lot of it's bullshit, and that's why I agreed with Trump doing what he did about the incarceration problem and letting people out and putting through the criminal reform bill. Because who backed the crime bill in the first place that put black people in jail for five times longer for crack cocaine than white people went to jail for powder cocaine? Gee, I think he's running for president. Oh, yeah, Joe Biden. Yeah, he was the main sponsor of that friggin' bill. I mean, come on. If you ain't voting for me, you ain't black. Well, you know what? If you're in jail, it's because of you, asshole. Okay? You know, that was friggin' wrong. I'm just so tired of liberal hypocrisy. The only time they do anything for black Americans is when they want their vote. And as soon as they get their vote, it's fuck you. Go back to your hood. And, you know,
and that's absolutely true.
Deal drugs, drink booze and make babies. I mean, come on. That's not progressive. They call themselves progressive. There ain't nothing progressive about treating people like that. They're Americans. Give them a damn good education. Give them a fucking chance.
And I would just like to reiterate one more time on that LA County. They literally, the police are walking down the street in this one area, and every single person on the street is being arrested.
However,
there is another large march that I'm watching, another screen in LA County that they are not. So, I don't know. There didn't seem to be any violence. They walked up to these people and arrested them.
You know what happened in L.A.? They robbed a rich area yesterday. They looted a rich area yesterday, Santa Monica, and they were looting was it Van Nuys? I think they were looting Van Nuys early this evening, like 5 o'clock L.A. time. They were looting Van Nuys. So, you know, the mayor of L.A. and the politicians are going, oh, shit, we ain't going to have nothing left to tax. We better start doing something.
I'd like to just drop a plug real quick for anybody who wants to, like, listen.
Oh, every time you say plug, I think of Biden's head.
But if you want to listen to, like, any of these counties' police scanners, if you have iOS or Android, just download the app called Broadcastify or any radio scanner app, and you can tune into any police station across the entire United States and listen to their scanner feeds for free. It's great.
Well, I can tell you right now, whatever we see tonight will probably be pretty much the last night of it, because Trump signed the Insurrection Act right before he came out and did his press conference at 6:45 this evening. And the Insurrection Act is a law that allows the federal government to step in to maintain order. And he will maintain order. He gave the governors and the mayors and police chiefs another shot this afternoon on a video conference call. And he told them, you need to get out there. You need to own the streets. You need to take care of life and property. That is your job. You're an elected official in America. You need to protect the residents of your community. And if you don't do it, I will effing do it. Well, they bitched and moaned and groaned, and CNN put a little slant on it from whoever they got the leaks from. But apparently some of them are paying attention, like you're saying, in L.A. They didn't have a show of force like that last night.
Well, what kills me is right outside of his own, you know, buildings in Washington, where he stood there and said that the curfews are going to be enforced. They are not. And that in itself is hypocrisy. I mean, just, you know, they're not enforced in Washington, which, you know, if you say you're going to do it, that curfew went into place at 7 p.m. You need
as to tough as the mayor of Atlanta is, the mayor of Washington is a wimp. Okay. She had 11 o'clock curfew last night. That was insane.
That's 2 hours past my bedtime.
and it's 3 hours past when it starts getting dark.
Oh, DeBlasio.
DeBlasio opened until 11 o'clock in New York tonight. Like nothing happened last night.
You know, no. I reread a couple of articles. De Blasio is not the one that actually ordered the curfew in New York City. It came down from the governor's office.
Well, it got changed to 11 o'clock tonight.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying it. De Blasio probably he hemmed and hawed all day, and he's kept saying, "I am not going to order a curfew," and it did come down from the governor's office.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at Louisville, Kentucky, on the screen right now, and Louisville, Kentucky's got National Guards rolling in. They got police all over the street. And I don't see anything getting broken into. They're taking back the streets in Louisville. But Philadelphia scared the crap out of me. I mean, you know, that's my home state. And
well, but you know, what happened in
13 cops got hurt there 2 days ago in one day.
And kind of what happened in Philadelphia is kind of what happened the first night in Minnesota, where we're going to talk about this hopefully later with that whole police station. In Philadelphia, they got so overwhelmed that they didn't have enough police force that they just finally gave up. And I mean, that's 90% of the destruction that happened in Philadelphia was they couldn't do anything about it. I mean,
well, that's a question I have for you guys. You know, I mean, they're blaming Trump. Oh, Trump called them thugs and this, and his rhetoric is horrible. It's terrible. Well, I would just like to let America know that former President Obama sounded in on this, and we have a sound clip from former President Obama, and I think this will hearten America a little bit and maybe get him off Trump's ass. Right. You got that ready?
I'm ready. Here we go.
There's no excuse for the kind of violence that we saw yesterday. It is counterproductive. When individuals get crowbars and start prying open doors to loot, they're not protesting. They're not making a statement. They're stealing. That is not a protest. That is not a statement. It's people, a handful of people, taking advantage of a situation for their own purposes, and they need to be treated as criminals.
Did it cut off there?
Yeah, that was where that's where it actually cut off.
Oh, he said criminals and thugs.
Oh,
I guess YouTube went back and
they did because that came from YouTube.
They went back and pulled that off.
Yep.
So that we couldn't prove that Obama called the looters thugs.
The only thing I
he did, but that was 2015. He was talking about Baltimore and the Freddie Gray matter. But you know, the mayor in Baltimore did the same damn thing they did in Minneapolis. She said, "Oh, back off. Let them blow off steam." Well, Baltimore hasn't recovered yet. They're not even close to recovering. It's a mess.
You know what? I read an article today that said the riots when Rodney King happened in LA back then,
92,
everything was rebuilt. When Baltimore happened, stuff is being rebuilt. This guy, that I don't know what his name was, he came right out and said, "None of this will be rebuilt. These people are
the Minneapolis thugs. Mayor."
This was just an economist expert and his belief is that none of this that's happening across America, these cities are not going to be able to rebuild from this because, number one, the we're in such a financial crisis because of the coronavirus. No one has any money. And that very well could be true. These people have destroyed businesses that are never, ever going to return to their communities. And where are they going to shop? I mean, you would have thought when Ferguson happened that they would have, you know, they learned, don't burn down the weave shop. Don't burn down, you know, these places because they didn't come back.
Well, I saw something today that I hadn't seen since Baltimore. And that was a reporter interviewing a local resident. And this was a lady in Minneapolis. And she was saying how she was so scared to death last night when the riots and looting and stuff was happening on her street. And she said that all the local stores she shops at, they're gone. And the buses aren't running. I can't go anywhere else to get anything. She's suffering for no reason.
And guess what? Those local stores that are gone aren't coming back.
No. Well,
They're not.
There's no building to come back to.
But if it's a mom and pop, if it's a Walmart or a Target, maybe.
What bank is going to loan you the money to rebuild something that was so easily destroyed?
Exactly.
They're not going to.
No, these communities are in turmoil, and these people don't realize. And I don't. Guess what? I'm stereotyping every time I say these people because it's not these people. It's just people in general because it's not the bad people. It's not just whites or blacks. It's both. I mean,
yeah.
I was watching somebody in particular the other night, last night on Facebook, and was pointing out all the wrong things that the white people are saying and the white people were doing, and they didn't want to. They can't admit that there's black people doing wrong either. It's just the white people, and you can't. You have to
That was a mayor in Seattle.
Yeah, but you have to admit that both sides.
She said it was white supremacists doing this. I'm like, come on, that's good. Not even your own people believe you when you say stupid shit like that.
Right. Okay? I mean, there's bad seeds in every culture, whether it's white, black, Mexican, Hispanic, Latino.
But what we need less of is the bad seeds like that effing cop. Okay? That's what we need less of. We need less people like him.
Did you see the video
We're Americans. Okay? We're all freaking Americans. Do we need to help out the inner city communities that are mostly African American, but they're not all. Yes. Were we helping them out? Yes. How are we doing that? Enterprise zones, a vibrant economy. You could work a real job, make enough money to support yourself and your kids and buy your weed and have a party on the weekends and shit, you know, and have a decent life. Just enjoy your friggin' life. You don't need to run Apple. To enjoy your life.
Just enjoy your life.
But they can't enjoy their lives because they're economically depressed. The only way they got to make money is doing crime. And when shit like this happens, it's an opportunity that too many of them can't pass up. And that breaks my heart.
Oh, and not to mention, this was a huge opportunity because everybody could wear masks and hide their identities so that to prosecute a lot of these people down the road, it's going to be impossible, at least during Ferguson.
Well, there's something they could learn from the Chinese. Did you see what the Chinese were doing, Slim?
I saw something. I clicked through it real quick. Well,
the people are demonstrating in Hong Kong against the Chinese, you know, going back on the 50-year plan for Hong Kong being able to be autonomous. And they got, you know, it's only been 23 years since the Brits handed it back over. And what they're doing is they've got water cannons out in these crowds, and they put blue dye in the water cannons. So when they shoot the crowds, they're getting stained with blue dye so the cops can go around and arrest them later.
That's the best idea in the world right there. I mean,
I got a better idea.
What's that?
Hook the fire hoses up to a sewage treatment truck. Who cares about arresting them?
Yeah, but the people in Hong Kong have as much right to demonstrate against what's happened to them as people have the right to demonstrate against police brutality against blacks. I got no problem with that at all. None. That should happen. We've got to fix that crap.
It just can't keep going on.
All they're doing right now is making damn sure Trump gets reelected. Well, that's all they're doing. And I guarantee you, 90% of them, that's the last thing they want to happen.
Well, here's one thing I want to point out that I think we do need to see happen as well. And this is important because it happened, and I think, if I got my facts right, it was in Toronto on Saturday where another police officer had a person on the ground with his knee in the neck, and the other officer that was with him helped this officer to realize what he was doing, and they absolved the situation with the knee in the neck. And it's been national.
Well, he forcibly moved.
He did. Cop's knee. Yeah. But I think we do need a little bit more policing of the police. The police need to police each other, but they don't, because it's that brotherhood. They don't want to. They don't want to rat.
Blue line.
They don't. Right. They don't want to rat on their bike.
There is not a cop in the United States, except for maybe a couple of bad ones that are like the asshole who murdered George Floyd, that are happy about what happened.
No,
look how tough their lives are now. Look at what they're having to go through to maintain order because of what this bastard did to that poor man.
But take any other cop, any cop in the United States, and put them not as the gentleman who actually committed the murder or the accused murder. Any other cop and put them in the situation of the other three cops that were on scene. How many cops would actually intervene and police their own police officer and say, this is wrong?
Probably not enough.
That's my point.
Probably
that's
not enough.
We need more of that. We need more of the police officer stopping their like CB said, that thin blue line, the brotherhood that they have, so that this corruption, the few corrupt cops that are out there, can actually get exposed.
Unfortunately, it's a whole police culture that you have to change.
I know.
When you do something like that, because what happens is you're the cop who, takes your brother officer and gets him thrown off the force. And then you're in a bad situation in your patrol car and you call for help and nobody comes.
I understand. That is the problem.
That whole culture has to change.
New York City is without a doubt the finest police force in the world, and they had their problems. You know, Amadou Diallo, they shot that poor guy how many friggin' times? And a number of other things. But they addressed it. They prosecuted the people, they got rid of them. They train. And the New York police force is despite who leads them, because nobody in the police force likes that asshole, DeBlasio, or William Wilhelm, which is his real name.
I actually don't think that they probably even take his orders. I think whoever's in charge of the police department makes pretty much the orders down
there. Yeah, I think they have to. They have to. I mean, his own daughter was out there with the rioters, and she got arrested, and he said he was proud of her. He was proud of her.
Well, now I did not read. Did she actually do anything wrong, or was she strictly protesting?
She got arrested.
Well, okay, but she.
They weren't real specific. Believe me, it's the mayor's daughter. It's going to be.
That's true. But I mean, if she was out protesting and she was just arrested because of maybe the curfew thing, which there wasn't one in New York City last night, then I can say, well, you know, maybe he can say he was proud that she used her voice to protest. But if she committed a violent act of any sort that caused her to be arrested, I mean, she's going to get out scot-free, but there should be repercussions for this.
Oh, she knew she was. In her mugshot, she made a clown face. She made a goofy, kind of face with a big bulging eyes and her mouth askew and stuff in her mugshot, because it was a joke to her.
My
daddy's the mayor. Nothing's going to happen to me.
Now, let me throw this one out, because I saw it numerous different places today that there was groups of officers. And it's not that I want to badmouth the officers, because I'm totally for the police. I have a lot of police in my family. But there was a bunch of officers that reportedly were taking their body cams and putting tape over them so that, what was happening wasn't being recorded. And then I don't even remember which police department it was, but it was quite a few officers that were doing stuff like this. And, the problem with
that's just opening them up for trouble later on.
Exactly. That's my
point.
Well,
it should. And if they find an officer, they should go over every single, wherever this was, they should go through every single officer's video recording, and anybody who has put tape over their thing so you can't see it should get whatever punishment.
You should get at least suspended immediately.
Yep. But you know, what I found interesting?
And that fire a few of them for effect.
But you know what was interesting, too, and I didn't realize this until I was watched enough live PD. Those officers' cams, I thought, actually pretty much recorded 24/7. They do not. They actually turn them on as they come up. So you could be pulling somebody over and just never even turn your camera on.
If you're out on the street or if you called into dispatch and say you're pulling somebody over, you have to turn your camera on.
Well, correct. If you have to. Well, if you've called into dispatch, which they do, I mean, for the most part, I'm sure. Mm. But okay, go ahead.
Well, except for the jerks like this asshole in Minnesota, and I'm sure there's more of them out there. But fortunately, there's not many. But there are still some, and then as long as there's some, it's a problem. And you know, I'm not going to bitch about anything other than the lawlessness, because
holy Christ, Santa!
I can't imagine what it would be like to be, like I said, if I was a black guy driving around my car in Tampa, I guarantee I've been pulled over every 6 months.
We have about a 4 or 5 alarm fire in Santa Monica, California. They have set a clothing store in flames, and it's not just fire. It is completely engulfed. There's going to be nothing left.
Oh, Jesus. Now, can I keep going? Let me just point this out. Well, I wrote this up on social media earlier this week, and just because it kind of, yeah, I thought it was semi-clever, but it does make sense. Only on the left is speech criminal. You know, Trump said thugs. Oh, that's horrible. It's, you know. But crime is free speech. That is not how society is supposed to be. That's, you know, the radical left media is a big part of this problem. And liberal politicians that have no cojones at all, they're like, oh, we can't offend the looters. They're our voters. No, they're not. They're not your voters. Most of them don't vote. You know, the people that vote are the people out protesting righteously about the terrible thing that happened to George Floyd. Every single state that had a draconian lockdown for coronavirus is run by Democrats. Every city where the looting and violence and anarchy is out of control is run by Democrats. You see a theme here, people? You cannot have it both ways. You can't just ignore things. Like the MSNBC guy, this fat, bald guy, I don't remember what his name was, but he was on air reporting Tuesday night or Wednesday night. I think it was Tuesday night, Minneapolis. And there's raging fires behind him, a cop car on fire, a dumpster on fire, a building on fire. And he looks right in the camera and he says, well, so far the protests are mostly peaceful.
Dallas, Texas, we have a bridge. It is the Martha Hunt Hill Bridge. The police have trapped over 200 protesters. They have enclosed them on both sides and they are arresting everybody.
It's Texas.
Everybody.
It's Texas.
Go ahead. Jump off the bridge if you'd like.
So let's talk about America a little bit.
We are.
Okay. Texas is still America. You know, Florida, we have a huge minority population in Florida. And granted, it's mainly Hispanic, but it's a large minority population. And do we have a lot of criminals? Sure we do. But for the most sake, we all get along. We're Americans. You're supposed to get along. I don't give a shit what color your skin is. I care what's in your heart and what your character is. You know, if you're an American first, I'm going to give you a benefit of the doubt.
They're bringing in buses.
But I'll tell you what happens in Texas and in Florida that doesn't happen in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where they're out of control. If somebody breaks into your pawn shop in Florida,
you're getting
and
shot.
It's coming at you with a hammer or a crowbar or anything else, and they're trying to break into your pawn shop, you can shoot them, and there's no questions asked. That is your business. That's your home. Same thing in Texas. What happens in Minnesota? Well, let me tell you. It brought Trump's tweet out that he probably shouldn't have said, but you know, the media immediately made sure that they twisted it so that nobody would get it. And Trump said, when the looting starts, the shooting starts. Okay. He probably thought that was clever. Oh, it's alliteration. He shouldn't have said it. But what he meant was the night before, five people had gotten shot. Okay. One of the people that got shot was somebody who was a part of a crowd that was breaking into a pawn shop, and the pawn shop owner shot the first guy through the door. Okay. What did they do in Minneapolis, Slim? You know. Slim?
Yeah, what? Sorry, I'm...
What did they do to the pawn shop owner in Minneapolis?
Come on, Slim. Get with the program.
He shot the first guy through the door. He got arrested.
Oh, yeah, he got... Oh, yeah, sorry.
He got arrested.
You have no idea what I'm watching. I'm watching all kinds of shit happening right now, and it's amazing.
Then you've got yesterday, or I think it was yesterday. God, it's all running together now. It might have been Saturday. 400 or so protesters decide they're going to march down and clog up all three lanes of I-35, which is the main highway going past that part of Minnesota. And they're clogging up the road. They're kicking people's cars. They're screaming at them to get out of their cars. People are taking hammers and breaking the windows of their cars. And this guy driving a tanker truck, which probably was gasoline. I can't be sure of that. I didn't read that anywhere.
It looked like gasoline.
It looked like a gas truck, because usually milk ones have a company name on them.
But it was either
gasoline is hauled by local guys.
It was either that. It was that type of truck, though.
Well, let's say, yeah, it was a tanker. He had people crawling all over his tanker while he was stopped in this giant traffic jam because of these people on the road. And I'm assuming he did have gasoline in his truck, because he got panicky. There's three, four people on the hood of his truck, hanging onto his mirror, banging on his window and shit. And he started rolling forward, and he went through the crowd. People scattered. He didn't run anybody over or anything, but the people that were hanging on his truck busted his windshield and hurt him. Okay. Minnesota police arrested the truck driver. They didn't arrest the people that were maybe trying to open the valves and blow the son of a bitch up on a bridge, or kill the driver because he was wrong color skin to them, or whatever. They arrested the truck driver. In Florida and Texas and real America, that shit don't happen.
No, but can I point out one thing with that? I think the only clip that you saw was actually the clip that all the news was running. And there is another clip that shows approximately 7 seconds before the clip that the news all ran, and shows him come up through the crowd. This dude, I think this was, to me, after watching that additional, the first 6 seconds, It was malicious. I mean, he went barreling.
I saw it.
Did you see that one?
I saw it. It looked to me like he was panicking.
Well, that could be that very well could be true, but that was before people were jumping.
If I'm sitting on 8,000 gallons of gasoline, I'm panicking too.
Well, and another thing people were pointing out too is he didn't stop fast enough. Well, somebody, these things, they don't stop fast, and especially if he's got a full load of gas.
He ain't stopping. You guys know my son's a truck driver.
Yeah.
And there's a certain section of the state that he drives through it about six times a day, right, delivering back and forth.
He's a short
and one. Yeah. There's a green in one of the towns, and the green had protesters ringing the entire green. They weren't in the street, but they were there protesting. And he drove by and he'd toot his horn and he'd give them the thumbs up. Not because he believed in what they were doing, but just to make sure they didn't fuck with him.
Right.
I mean, he's driving a truck.
Showed some respect to them.
And it was self-preservation is what it was. I mean, he's driving through. He's got his truck weighs anywhere, 100, 110,000 pounds when it's fully loaded. And he's not stopping. You got that much weight behind you. You're not stopping in any short period of time whatsoever. So, if anybody had stepped out in front of them, they're flat.
So I'm going to, we're talking about these liberals that are in charge of these cities that are out of control. And I want to go to a story I read, a couple days ago, Van Jones. If you don't know who Van Jones is, you don't watch CNN enough. But that's okay. But Van Jones is, he's a liberal. He's a far left liberal. Actually, he was a member of the Communist Party. He was hired by Obama to be part of his administration. And then when it came out about him being part of the Communist Party, even Obama had to fire him. But CNN immediately hired him. So he's been on CNN for years. But, you know, he's a liberal pundit. But he does have moments of lucidity. And he dropped a truth bomb that the writer says, the writer is Wayne Dupree, the young black American who's a conservative. He said, I don't think most liberals want to hear. He was commenting on the situation unfolding in Minneapolis and the death of George Floyd. And as is their custom, CNN, of course, likes to focus on racism. So Jones took the topic and went in a direction nobody saw coming. Van Jones claimed that it's not the fringe KKK members that black folks should fear or focus on. It's white liberals. He pointed to the recent situation in Central Park where the white liberal woman got freaked out by a black man birdwatching after he asked her to place his dog on a leash. Things escalated, and then she reported, an African-American man! So that incident reminded Wayne Dupree of something that had happened to him when he lived in an affluent Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden liberal area outside of a major city. He had a neighborhood message board and he was part of it. And every damn day, the rich, snotty white liberals were discussing how racist Trump supporters were and how it had to stop. And he said he thought he was the only undercover Trump supporter in the neighborhood. And one day, a Hispanic man was walking down the street pushing a child's bicycle. And as he strolled by their houses, the folks on the message board started to get nervous. Who was he? What was he doing in the neighborhood? He doesn't have any lawn equipment. And Dupree says, yes, they actually said that. It was just him and the kid's bike that scared the crap out of these rich white liberals. The entire message boards went bonkers. How could this man be in our neighborhood without gardening equipment? And whose bike was that? Did he steal it? What's he doing with the kid's bike anyway? What's he up to? So the police got called. And some of the neighbors even went outside and stalked the poor guy, reporting his every move on the message board like he was an America's most wanted fugitive. Okay. Now, that's to me, that's absolutely disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. But Van Jones has a point. You know, the liberal America tells African Americans that we're your friends. We care about you. We love you. We take care of you. Vote for us. And as soon as they vote for them, they don't do a fucking thing for them for the entire time in office. They don't. They don't try. It takes somebody like Trump, who you don't expect to do it, to go and do the criminal reform bill, to do black enterprise zones and give people money to build businesses and things like that. Shit that should have been happening 20 years ago. You know, Bush didn't do it. Obama didn't do it. But Trump's doing it. Remember they said only Nixon can go to China? Maybe only Trump can fix this race problem, you know, because you don't expect him to. But I mean, I watched this guy. He was emotionally upset. He was emotionally disturbed about what happened to Mr. Floyd. And, you know, and people keep calling him racist and stuff. There ain't a racist bone in Trump's body, for Christ's sake. Now, I ain't so sure about his son-in-law. He's a rich white liberal, and I think he's been in Trump's ear a little too much. But you guys, let me go back to Minneapolis, because I wanted to ask you this question earlier, and I didn't. Do you think when Minneapolis mayor told the police to abandon the third precinct building, just get the hell out, did that encourage Antifa and the left's rabble-rousers to turn real pros? Protests into lawlessness all over the country in the next couple of days? I cannot see a mayor of a major American city telling the police to abandon their building to the mob.
It didn't help. It was stupid. But in my opinion, I do not think it was the breaking point to this.
No.
I think
it encouraged them.
It encouraged them, but it wasn't the breaking point. It wasn't the straw that broke the camel's back. I think the straw that broke the camel's back is that they've been able to get away with this without any mass repercussions other than a few arrests for the last few nights. I mean, again, nobody, I said this earlier in the show, nobody has been the one to actually set the standard and put this to arrest. They're letting them kind of get away with it. And that's the bigger problem. Not just giving up a police station. It's they're giving up their positions in a lot of places.
I think one of the I would say that there's one other thing I think that caused a big problem with this was the initial coroner's report that came out that said that he died from, you know, pre-existing conditions, exacerbated. I understand that, but it just looked like it was going to be another whitewash. Pardon the pun.
Yeah. No, I gotcha.
And, you know, and thank goodness the initial, the corrected or whatever it is you want to call it, coroner's report came out and said, yeah, the guy killed him by leaning on his neck, basically.
Oh, that was, that was Dr. Bodden, and he was hired by the attorney for the Floyd family.
Yeah, that's not the correct. I mean, that's not really considered a corrected coroner's report. That was just an independent investigation. But Bodden is
one of the foremost, forensic pathologists this country's ever had. And I'll tell you what, if Bodden is correct, and he usually is, why is that coroner not getting arrested? Because it sounds to me like he was lying to cover up for the cops.
Well,
he's part of the problem.
They got three cops they're trying to worry about right now, though. Let's worry about that.
I'm telling you, the Minneapolis Police Department should just be disbanded and reformed.
Yeah, because
everybody should apply for their job again.
You know, and a question I have now, and I wish I would have researched it before the show because I don't know, but my question would be: Was he the coroner when this son of a bitch shot the other guy, and Senator Klobuchar declined to prosecute him? Maybe she got a coroner's report that was slanted and said, I'm not going to look into it any further. You know, I'm just wondering how long this shit's been going on.
Probably forever.
It's a fair question.
You know, three real quick. I don't have a lot of details. We have a cop that's been run over in Buffalo. We have the Macy's in Herald Square has been broken into and is being raided, just like the Target was the other night. And then we have
Herald Square, meaning New York.
Yes. And in Sacramento, National Guard boots are on the ground.
All right. Well, I want to give you another human interest story. It came out of Minneapolis. Before anybody else says looting and rioting in Minneapolis has anything to do with improving the situation for Black Americans or for justice for George Floyd, here's the truth. It isn't. This is evidenced by the burning and looting of Score Sports Bar in the city. It was looted, vandalized, destroyed. Score Sports Bar was set for a grand opening this spring, but COVID-19 hit, and it was put on pause. Now he was about to be able to open it this week, okay? And this thing happens, and they wreck his business, just absolutely destroyed it, all right? It fell victim to looters Wednesday night, all right? KB Bala and his wife, Tawana, are active members of their community. KB is a firefighter with the Brooklyn Center Fire Department, Minneapolis. And Tawana was a member of the Sounds of Blackness, a local community group. They have four beautiful children, and the toll of this situation is heavy. KB's been a community entrepreneur for decades, coaches and contributes in the community in which they live. The guy coaches Little League, and he's a firefighter, for Christ's sake. His community showed their love in the rawest form. Many of you know that Score Sports Bar was his dream. It was a coming together, and when COVID-19 hit, the reality of not being able to open for a grand opening was difficult. But with the help of my family and friends, I pushed through, find out the countless hours, hard work, late nights away from my kids and family had all been for nothing. It was soul-shattering. It's not the material things more so than the time cannot be reclaimed. This is an African-American man. An upstanding member of his community, had the American dream. He wanted to own his own business and be a success. And because of the COVID thing and him having the ongoing expenses in the building without being able to open, he hadn't activated his insurance on the building yet. He had no insurance whatsoever. He and his family are ruined. Or are they? No, they're not. Because as soon as I saw the story, the first thing I posted was, I hope the hell he has a GoFundMe because I'm sending him some money. Well, he does have a GoFundMe. And I would like to tell you that KB Bala and his wife and their Score Sports Bar can rebuild anywhere they frickin' want to build, because he's got over $1 million in the GoFundMe. He asked for $100,000 to cover all the losses and everything inside. He's got $1 million. If he doesn't want to rebuild in that block that they've wrecked in downtown Minneapolis, he can go anywhere he wants, or he can take the $1 million, put it in the bank, educate his kids, and go live somewhere else where he gets, where he'll get treated with more respect. Good for him. And good for the people of America that recognize this is bullshit. Now, I kicked in too, but I didn't kick in as much as I was going to, because when I went on it, he was already at $400,000. I was like, shit, man.
Yeah, you're only getting $10.
No, I didn't. You know, I gave more than that, but
I just,
but I didn't give what I was going to give.
So, you're empathetic to a point.
I mean, well, you know, he already had $400,000.
I understand.
He was asking for 100.
It truly is amazing how well those GoFundMes work for situations like this.
If
your story's real and you get somebody to help you out and get it, you know, out on Facebook or social media, you can rack in a lot of money for people.
Yeah, we have a local one next town over. Unfortunately, one of the police officers there caught Corona in April and passed away 2 days ago. His wife had put through an appeal for, I guess they tried a transfusion for someone who had been who had survived the disease, and they tried that and everything, but it just didn't make it. But anyway, they have a GoFundMe page for him, and you know, it's a person who deserves it, because the family's of course devastated, and they're not even asking for that much. I think it was like $10,000 or something.
Yeah, well, you know what?
As much sympathy I have for Mr. Bella and his family and his thing, that's how much disdain I have for the next story. This is a former NBA player named Chris Palmer. I don't even know who the hell he is. Couldn't have been that good an NBA player. I would have heard him. But he was an NBA player. Now he's on ESPN. I mean, if you're a crappy player in the NBA, you make $1 million a year. So, you know, he's not poor.
More than that.
Yeah. Well, Chris Palmer posted a photo of the first night of riding in downtown Minneapolis of the brand new Section 8 housing building on fire. Now, Section 8 housing, if you're poor, Section 8 housing is a godsend. It's somewhere clean and safe and affordable to live while you get your ass back on your feet, okay, or raise your kids or whatever the case may be. A lot of people need Section 8 housing. I did this stuff in Pennsylvania. I'm not going to bore you with the whole story, but I put together the homeless reporting system for the state, and it was a big project. And fortunately, I had great computer people who knew what the hell they were doing, because I just did the outline and the marketing and stuff for it. But it was my project. So I learned a lot about Section 8 housing doing that. And this is a brand new, beautiful Section 8 housing building in a decent neighborhood on fire. And this sumbitch, Chris Palmer, tweets out a picture of the building on fire with the caption, "Burn that shit down, burn it all down." Okay? That would be enough to get me pissed off. Okay? Because I know how important that low-income housing is. But he changed his tune shortly thereafter. That was on May 28th, okay? Then, well, 3 days later, March 31st, I had to get the right date. He took to Twitter again, because the riots had cropped up across the country, but this time he was angry with the rioters. Called them animals.
Not thugs?
No, animals.
Okay.
That's worse than thugs. They just attacked our sister community down the street. It's a gated community, and they tried to climb the gates. They had to beat them back. Then they destroyed a Starbucks, and now they're out front of my building. Get these animals the fuck out of my neighborhood. Go back to where you live. Same dude who wanted Section 8 housing burned down. Burn, baby, burn. They come to his ritzy-ass fucking building, and he calls them animals and tells them to go back where they live.
Go back to where you came from?
That's the hypocrisy of the left in a nutshell, right there. Not in my neighborhood. Chris Palmer, if you ever see him on ESPN, turn it the fuck off.
I haven't watched ESPN in I don't know how many years.
All right. Well, I got the Dave Portnoy story and the Hindu story. We can do them because we don't have a time limit, do we?
We don't have a time limit. No, we do have a massive structure fire in New York City now as well. Don't know what it is,
do an update because Slim is our reporter on the beat. He will give us an update before we close the show. But I would like to let you know that coronavirus is definitely over. Not just because everybody's out and about and out in the street, but because a Hindu priest beheaded a man in a human sacrifice in an Indian temple to end coronavirus. Sensuri Oha, 72, was said to be both drunk and high from smoking marijuana. he's a hell of a priest. When he decapitated a man with an axe to appease the goddess and end coronavirus.
Any particular goddess or just?
Well, he provides over the Brahmi Devi temple. He's Hindu, so I don't know what that means. But he cut off a 52-year-old guy's head in the shrine of the Devi temple, which is right underneath the police station in Cuttack, India. Took place about 1 in the morning after an intoxicated argument between the two. So basically he got mad, killed the guy, and then he said it was a human sacrifice to end coronavirus.
Oh, that'll work.
Yes. So the Hindu priest, Sensuri Oha, is our perverted, stupid criminal of the week, because I won't mention that other asshole who really is the perverted, stupid criminal of the week. You know, the one in Minneapolis. That one. Okay. So what else? Oh, the Barstool Sports thing. We got to do this. We got to at least do something. We got to at least do something.
Finally. Something that's got me pissed off.
Yeah. We talked about Dave Portnoy, the guy who owns Barstool Sports. He offered $250,000 to the NFL COVID relief charity for the right to watch an NFL Monday night football game with Commissioner Roger Goodell from Roger Goodell's Man Cave, the one that he used for the NFL draft that everybody saw on TV because there was nothing else to watch then. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Dave Portnoy, of course, is not a fan of Roger Goodell.
No.
I might have understated that a little bit.
Hates his friggin' guts.
Yeah, that's probably better. But he offered $250,000 for the right to watch a Monday night football game and chat with the commish.
Chat.
Yeah.
Is that what they call it nowadays?
They want to have a chat. He took to Twitter Friday night and announced the NFL had retracted its invitation to watch the Monday night game at his house during the 2020 season after the $250,000 bid for charity. According to Portnoy, the NFL's message said the money was being refunded after the league's security check on him. The issue surfaced when the NFL was identifying why Portnoy was no longer eligible, included his arrest outside of league offices during Tom Brady's Deflategate drama, and he attended Super Bowl 57 or whatever the hell it is. No, not 57. It wasn't 52. It's LII 53. They just have it misprinted in the article. After he had been banned by the league. And you see, the league only banned him because he picks on Goodell and they hate him. So Dave
Goodell doesn't like it.
Yeah. And Dave Portnoy, he's a guy who's made millions of dollars selling Roger Goodell with a clown nose on t-shirts and hats and things like that. So I went back to see, because Dave Portnoy is an outspoken fellow. As I might have understated that one a little bit too.
Yeah, to put it mildly.
But he is Jim's hero, and he is now mine. I found on Twitter his response to the NFL for taking away the $250,000 he was offering to charity for the right to sit with Herr Goodell.
No, you didn't, because you never sent it to me.
Yeah, I did.
No, you didn't, because I went to pull it, and the only thing that was in there was the one.
The Twitter. No, it's in messaging.
I know. I went into my messenger and it's not there.
Oh, don't tell me I set all this up. Right. Yeah,
the only thing you sent me is the no excuses for, oh, it's above that.
Yeah, I sent it.
I see it.
Twitter.com status.
Yeah, I see it.
Can you pull this? CB and I are laughing like hell. That's the one.
Yeah.
How hard is it to do?
It doesn't pull up to that, though. Oh, yeah, it does.
This is fun.
Well, the problem is I don't have any way to send it to play it. Maybe I can.
Well, we will see. It is. His rant is funny as hell. He really is.
He's like Fitzy, except yeah, with more money.
The funniest.
I sent you the thing Fitzy did, right?
Yeah, the funniest thing was the part about Brady's kid. He was hanging out with Tom Brady, and he got a picture of Tom Brady's kid nude, and made a joke on Twitter about it, and the NFL said he was posting childborn. It was a baby. And like Portnoy says, the kid had a howitzer. What's the matter? Goodell can't take a big dick joke?
Oh,
made me laugh. Made me laugh. If we can't do it, we can't do it.
Facebook's just being stupid now.
Facebook's being stupid.
Well, I got to get the link off from Facebook.
Oh, we got to get the link off from Facebook. Yeah, it's on Twitter.
I know, but it won't scroll up.
I can play it, but I'd be the only one who hears it.
Doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose of having a radio show? Yeah, oh, okay, I'm just checking.
Now, New York, they're arresting people.
I can't get up to it, so.
All right, we'll save it. We'll save it. It's fine. What else is going on across the country there, Slimbo, since you're
don't know. I can't tell you because I just closed everything to try to pull your Twitter. So you're on your own, folks.
There's unrest across USA. Riots break out in Maine.
I had everything open.
Do we have a closing song? You might as well just play it.
Yeah, I'm done. I give up now.
Okay.
Good night.
I think we're done. Good night. Don't listen, LJ. Don't listen, Wesley.
It's Twitter's fault.
Start again with just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. them defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the U.S.